All set.
We're all set. Excellent. All right, everyone. We're going to call this meeting to order, regular meeting, 7 p.m. Everyone, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
April 22nd, 2021.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance
to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Let's go with a roll call, please.
Ms. DeGeniro.
Here.
Ms. Dugato.
Here.
Ms. Vidomsky.
Here.
Mr. DiMartino.
Here.
Mrs. Kurtica.
Here.
Mr. Sill.
Here.
Mr. Jim DiMartino.
He's stuck at work.
Yeah. Mr. Hyder.
Here.
Mr. Sampson.
Present.
Mr. Mayor, the record should reflect there are 8 members present and you have a quorum.
Beautiful. Number 4, public portion. Anyone from the public? Oni, here you go. You want anything?
Mr. Mayor, hold on 1 second, if you could, please.
Yes.
We have a couple deletions we have to make.
Okie dokie, go for it.
We're going to delete
7.1. 7.1, fee schedule for Whittock Park Schools, okay.
7.2.
Previously approved procedures here. Okay.
And 13.
Information update. All right.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, yeah, it didn't say addition, deletions, or anything on that. We went right.
You're correct. That was my omission, because the last time you had this meeting was prior to the 30 days, so it was still classified as a special meeting, but now these are regular meetings.
Okay. My apology. Okay. No problem. So no apologies mentioned here. Number 4. Public portion. Anybody want to speak?
Tom Linetti, 79 Sunset Drive, Derby, Connecticut.
Ahead,
Hi, Mayor. Listen, my question is this. The Great Room at Payton Park. Are you allowed alcoholic beverages if you want to have a time up there? I can't get an answer from anybody.
Not yet, as far as I know.
Mr. Mayor, if I could address that. Tom, speak to Chief Cota. Chief Cota got all the information he needed on that tonight. So, yes, there are special circumstances that have to come before the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen in order to have alcohol at that Great Room.
Okay. Now, fine. My question to you is this then, Charlie. Why can't you just make a policy that you can have beer and wine or something up there? Why does everything have to go to the Board of Aldermen?
There is a policy, and it was adopted by this board to approve on a case-by-case basis.
Well, could you override that and just make it's legal or not?
At this time, sir, the policy is in place and has been accepted. And at this time, we're not considering it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Anybody else from the public like to speak?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, this is Gino DiGiovanni, 77 H Street.
How you doing? Go for it.
Good. I have a couple questions. I asked this on Tuesday night at the planning and zoning meeting. Also, my question is now that the governor has gave us some more guidance coming up for May 1st and I think May 19th with the COVID restrictions. Does the town have any type of policy in place or how we're going to kind of get back to normal here where we could have meetings in person, even if it's via the board, and then Zoom meetings for the public or a certain amount of public to, come to the meeting? Or I just can't find anything and nobody really has the answer. So I don't know if the, town already has something that's, thought out and just hasn't reached the public yet. Or if you could maybe point me in the right direction to find out what we're going to do moving forward here.
All right. Normally, it's not a question and answer thing. I talked to the president today, and we are looking next month to reopen because the exact thing you're saying with the state opening everything up.
So, okay, perfect. So you guys have something in place. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Anybody else from the public?
Yes, Anella Malerba, 41 Lakeview Terrace, obviously here in Derby. And I just want to offer my condolences to you, Mayor, on the passing of your aunt. So thanks. I got that email. So I just wanted to relay that across to you. So. Thanks.
Anybody else from the public like to speak? Anybody else? Third and last call. Okay, hearing done. We're gonna move on to number five, Blight. 5.1, authorization for closures. Move to initiate foreclosure on the following properties. 5.1.1, 273 Olivia Street. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second, Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara. Discussion, any questions for Andy? Okay. First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Abstained, so carried. 5.1.2, 196 Hawkins Street. Have a motion?
So moved.
Jim, or Joe, I'm sorry, second.
Second, Charlie.
Charlie, discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Same, so carried. 5.1.3, 1725 Crescent Street. Have a motion?
So moved, Rob.
So moved. Second, yes. Barbara.
And Barbara, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Still carried. Thank you. And Chief Andy, yes. Thank you for all the work you've been doing on this. I mean, it's a lot, and I understand it. We see it. So thank you for your due diligence on this.
And if I may, for a second, we did meet with the Corp Council at length, Carmen and myself, and we have a lot of stuff that we're moving forward. So I think the city will be happy because there's been questions about stuff that's been laying there for a while. Right. So I just want to tell the board that we're working on those also.
I just want to acknowledge you guys. You're doing a great job. Thank you. Right, we're going to go to 5.2, remove from the blight list. Move to remove the following properties from the blight list. 5.2.1, 50 Capola Terrace. Have a motion?
So move. Motion.
I'll second it, Camille.
Rob and Camille. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? So carried. 5.2.2, 49 Hawkins Street. Have a motion?
So moved.
Joe? Second?
Second, Barbara.
Barbara? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Against? Hearing none? 5.2.3, 395 Hawthorne Avenue. do I have a motion?
I mean, I'll make the motion.
Second, Charlie.
And second is?
Charlie.
All right, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Both? Aye. So carried. And 5.2.4, 49 Seymour Avenue. A motion?
So moved, Rob.
Second, Charlie.
Second, Charlie. Do I have any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? So carried. Number six, community relations.
Derby Neck Library, we brought that up at our community relations. Mrs. Waringer sent us a letter looking if the kids can have an outdoor sidewalk chalk event to kick off their summer reading program. So I'd like to make that in the form of a motion that we allow that.
Okay,
I'll second it, Camille.
Okay. Any discussion?
Ron, one question. Where are they going to, which sidewalk are they doing? The front? Where are they
mostly going to utilize? Sidewalks, but they are going to get down to the front sidewalk just a little.
Okay.
Because they have two sidewalks that go to the front of the building. They're right. Going to come towards the front. And if they have more than so many children, they're going to come onto the front sidewalk a little bit. But it's a washable okay. truck, promises us. The rain will wash off.
Any more discussion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? All right, so carried. Go ahead, Ron.
6.2, proposed Eagle Scout project at Whittick Park. That's a young fellow named Ben Smith. He wants to do a project at Whittick Park on the John Zielinski path where they have going into the woods and it comes out to the second res. But there's a couple muddy spots there where water always trickles through. So he wants to build two little wooden bridges as his Eagle Scout project. And I touched bases with our public works director and he would work along with them. So we okayed that at our meeting and I'd like to make the motion that we okay it here.
I'll second it, Camille.
Camille seconding that. Any other discussion? That's excellent. I love these Eagle Scouts, man. They do a lot of work for us. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, abstain. So carried. Go ahead, Ron.
6.3, modification to 9/11 Memorial and the Derby Green. You have in your packet some three additions they want to make to the green. For the 9/11 memorial, I think it's really nice if you can look at that. And Dave, I think, is on the meeting. I'm not sure if he is, if he wanted to add anything. Dave Leonard, is the chief on there?
I'm here. If anybody has any questions.
David, just quickly, it's Barbara. So the cost of the modification is the Public Works is providing labor and the fire department is providing materials. Is that how I understand it? Or?
Yeah, we still have money from the selling of the bricks. So there is, yeah, okay. There is money available for it.
And Dave, okay. Isn't Home Depot?
Correct. The Derby Home Depot is going to be donating some of the material as well as Riverview Funeral Home. Eddie Sheehy's been helping us out a lot with the bench. So... but we'll have the funds in the account for it.
Zero cost for the city, correct, Dave?
Yes.
Thanks, Chief. Okay. Any other questions?
And it says there's going to be a sign. What is the sign going to be? Is there a size and how is that going to be displayed?
It's going to be a small size sign giving a description of the memorial and explaining the memorial. So that people understand what the different parts of the memorial mean.
That's similar to the Riverwalk. So the one that holds the notices, that sign?
No, it'll be smaller than the one that holds the notices. More like the one on the entrance to the river, the entrance to the Riverwalk on the McDonald's side. Yeah, the BJ side.
Okay.
Yeah, they're more of like the historical marker signs than they are, you know, like a bulletin board type thing. There's the one that it says like the Naugatuck River Greenway.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So I'd like to make a motion that we approve the modification to the 9/11 memorial on the Derby Green.
I'll second it. Let me help.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? So carried. Thank you. We're going to move on to number 8, Parking Division Garage Operations Update. Excuse me, and presentation. Update on operations, a presentation by LAZ Parking on proposed future operations, discussion and possible action. We have a motion.
So moved, Charlie Sampson.
Second.
I'll second it, Camille Kurtica.
Discussion. Carmen's there.
Go ahead, Carmen. I guess we have to motion for you to speak.
What was the motion? Yeah.
Well, it's an update.
It's practice.
It's actually a presentation.
It's actually, a present. Okay.
Presentation from Lass. So Sathias is here. He's on Zoom. We're going to turn it over to Sathias and let him present it. And then if you have any questions for him, then he'll be glad to answer them.
Thank you, Carm. My name's Staffy Manusis. I'm with Lass Parking. I'm the Vice President of Business Development and the Regional Manager for our Connecticut operations. And with me on the call is Michael Kippett. He's our GM in the New Haven area in the region of Connecticut, and he would be overseeing, if you decide to engage our services, he would be overseeing this. So we've had some great conversations with Carm and Drew and the mayor about the situation you've had, and we were asked if we could help, and we were more than willing to do that. We've realized that there's a couple different solutions, and you have, you know, a short-term problem, and you've got a long-term, you know, problem as well. So we can everybody see the screen?
Yes, yep. Sir.
Yes.
So what we were asked to do was, could we, once we learned a little bit about the situation that you had, we saw it as basically a couple different solutions we were trying to solve for. So the short-term solution was that you had, you know, unfortunate somebody who was overseeing your program was no longer there, and then you had a longer term issue of what your long term plans were for the garage and the system, you know, knowing that you were ready for an equipment upgrade and all that. So so this really focuses on the short term solution for the city until you're ready and the system has gotten back on its feet again, and until you're ready to replace the equipment on and off street. So for those of you who don't know, Lass Parking started in Hartford. We're just celebrating now our 40th year in business. Headquarters are in Hartford in the Gold Building, and we are the, you know, the second largest parking company in the country. And a lot of these numbers are pre-COVID. Everybody's been, you know, impacted by it, unfortunately. But we were in 36 states, 441 cities, over, you know, 1 million parking spaces, and lots of locations, over 3,000 in different service areas, hospitality, valet, medical, airports, anything parking related, really, event parking, and municipal. And municipal operations. So just in Connecticut alone, where we have probably 1,500 employees pre-COVID, we have about 150 locations across the state. The city of Norwalk, we run the complete system, a turnkey operation. In Stamford, we operate the city facilities, and the garages and the beaches, and in the city of New London, we manage the parking system there as well. Company wide, we have over 200,000 public sector spaces that we manage. And that was just a little background, just so you know that we're not a fly by night. We you know, kind of live and breathe the business every day. If you decide to engage us, we would do the best we can to help you out. So what we were, after our discussions with Carm and Drew, we kind of separated the meters, the on-street system, and the garage. So the thoughts were, because right now it's a coin-only system, that we would be able to very, you know, easily set up a pay-by-sell, kind of a text-to-park system, that would give people an option to pay in addition to using coins like they always do. So, you know, Drew had made it clear that the city wanted to, you know, get the system, advance the system with latest and greatest technology. But you know, that may be somewhere down the line. The immediate need was to help solve your day-to-day, which you were short-staffed with. So this would take cash out of the system. It would, it's an easy system to use, and it would be easy for a user to text just to park. So there's, each street would be zoned off. So each street would be a separate zone number, and signs would reflect that. And anybody that parked, they would text that number to the system. It's a credit card payment system. So every parking transaction, the unique identifier is the license plate. And that ties into the enforcement system. There's a transaction fee that's passed on to the customer. So the city will collect 100% of the parking fee, less, of course, the credit card processing cost. There's decals and or signage that we're thinking that we would assist with designing and getting approved and installing, or if your public works, I assume might be able to install that. If we don't need the decals, then signage may be appropriate enough and work. We understood that there is an existing enforcement officer that the city has that would continue to perform those functions. And it would be, there's the license plate enforcement system, all those plates would link to the enforcement. So the enforcement officer will have a link on a smartphone or on the ticket writing device, so they can look those up. And more recently in our discussions, we talked about the enforcement contract or the ticket management system contract that you have with Passport, or formerly Complus, that we could assist in managing that contract for you. So that was the parking meter system. The garage, what we had discussed was to get you going in the easiest and quickest way possible, that we would just operate that, or you would, as an ungated facility. So the equipment that you have there, I understand that you were looking at some upgrades and replacement in the future. Until that happens, it would be very easy to operate with the gates just in the up position, just raise them and take the existing parking equipment offline and then operate it as an ungated facility. So the way that would work, people would come in, and the same system that we have on street for the meters, people would be able to text to park, using the existing rate structure that's in place. So those are the transient parkers. They would come in. So the discussion was, do you need an hourly rate or a flat fee? Either way, it could be accommodated. And again, the license plate is the unique identifier for all the transactions, and that would integrate with the enforcement system. So the garage, we would have signs, and it would be designed as one kind of zone or one location number. And that would be created for the entire garage. So it didn't matter which floor you were on. And that way we could distinguish traffic that went in to the garage as opposed to on street. The transaction fee applies. Any signage or anything that we help design, either we would pay and ask for reimbursement, or you could pay for it directly. The enforcement officer, the same thing. They would have, a link to that system, the paid plates, and they could issue citations accordingly. And by all means, this is meant to be interactive too. So if there are questions along the way, please interrupt me and ask away.
Can I ask a question before you go further?
Ma'am.
And I don't think this is Barbara. I don't know if you addressed it. So on the on-street meter, somebody parks. How does our enforcement officer know that they didn't pay for their meter? Do they use the texting, what do you call it here? The link, how do they know?
Yeah, so on the enforcement device or on a smartphone, they would be able to link to the enforcement database and see all the paid license plates that parked and paid. So when they if somebody pays with coins, it's really a visual inspection and a visual enforcement.
Right.
So if it's green, it's paid. If it's yellow, it's in warning status. If it's red, it's in violation. So in this case, they won't see that. So it'll look like it's a vehicle in violation. So before they write any ticket, they would check the database, make sure it hasn't paid. And if it did pay, then they would move on to the next space. If it wasn't paid, then they would issue a citation.
So they put in the plate? Is that what they do? They have the link of the paid plate, so they don't know. So they put in the plate that they're checking on the vehicle. And then in the database, it will show they're paid or not paid.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
That's okay. Correct. Yeah. So when a customer first pulls in, the first time they use it, they're going to have to set it up. But then once they come back, it's easy to use.
Okay. Thank you.
So we were on the garage part. And so that was the transient parkers we talked about, which would be paid in the same fashion that we were just talking about with Barbara on street. So the monthly parkers, there were a couple options. The first one was kind of a simple one where the city would still manage that program and use just good old fashioned hang tag system. Later on in the presentation, we have a link to, a vendor that we could assist with getting that. There were a couple different, group users, the post office, and I think there may have been another one, I don't remember offhand. So it would be pretty easy to just issue them the hang tags. And then the enforcement would be, on foot, similar to on street, and they would go through the same motions in terms of verifying a payment. The other option was that, we have our own online permitting system. So if you didn't want to have to manage that at all, we could offer that up as well. So permits people can register online for permit parking or monthly parking. We would approve it. And then that license plate would be integrated into the enforcement system. So your enforcement officer could see that as well. And the license plate, again, is the permit credential. The citations management and processing system. So that was more recent in our ongoing discussions with your team. So if that's something you want us to take off your hands, which sounded like you may want to, we could certainly administrate the agreement that you have now. There's one in place that has some term to it. The city would still enforce the violations, using that equipment that was supplied by your vendor. We would just manage and administer the agreement. And we would provide some other services so you wouldn't have to do that. So on the citations processing side, we would open up a lockbox so people can mail in their ticket payments. We would process those. So staff would actually enter those into the system, deposit the citations, account for it, reconcile them. And then for violators and outstanding citations, we would coordinate the collections of those delinquent citations with your vendor. Postage and consumables you already pay for now through the vendor, so we would we would manage that as well for you. If we needed to buy additional tickets, so we would do that through the vendor, and either you pay them directly or we could or you can reimburse us. Any questions on that part?
So I have a question. It's Anita. So we're still in the Complice system and we would work off of them until our contract is up with them. Is that what you're saying? You would assist us with using the Complice system?
Yes, we can do that. I mean, unless you're trying to make the change, but that'd be a different story, but we could still assist with that. Some of the resources we talked about for implementing this program was hang tags in the garage. So this is just one of many vendors that are out there. We get preferred pricing because of our size, so we can certainly help order those, order what you need, keep some in inventory for you. So those could be handed out. The post office, if they have 10, 15 Parkers, and they're the same employees, you might not need to replace those every month. Typically, you know, it's not uncommon to have paper or cardstock permits that hang from the rearview mirror that are replaced every month. But if they're the same employees, you probably don't need that. Maybe get some heavier plastic ones and then replace those maybe every 6 months or so or a year just for audit purposes. Signage for the on-street program and in the garage for the contactless and touchless parking, the text to park. These are similar to what signs would look like. We would, of course, customize them to your location, but they're basically the same. There's a text number, the 53242 would be where this kind of location number would be texted. So this number is the one I was talking about when we were referring to each street being its own location or zone and the garage being its own separate zone. So if we take every block face and maybe you've got 10 of them, then we would have 10, separate numbers on different signs and plus one for the garage. So that way, when we give you reporting and we try to analyze some of the usage statistics and things, we're able to help deliver some information to you that's worthwhile, and not just the totals. So leading into the reporting, we would provide reports to you. And I'm going to turn this over to Michael Kipp for a minute so he can talk about the automatic reports that he gets through the system, the text to park system, and what we can provide. So Kipp, you on? I think he's on.
He is. It looks like he's trying to unmute, sir.
Yeah.
Mark, can you help him out?
I'm trying.
Hello.
There he is.
Okay. Sorry about that. I was an issue with my voice here. Thank you, Stott. Good evening, everybody. Yeah, we are pretty quite simple. I mean, we can set up fulfillment reports to come out weekly, daily, or even monthly, where it can be emailed directly to who you designate or multiple people to receive the reports, and it'll have a breakdown of everything from rates to plates to how many people actually parked and what they paid. We can actually also, have anybody copied on the reservations live as they're made as well.
Thanks, Kim.
First, yeah, no problem.
That third bullet point is a typo. That was on another slide, but continuing with the reports, so we would provide you, in addition to those automatic emails and those transaction reports that Kip was talking about, you'd get a financial package from us that would have the summary of business financials, the revenue collected. We would have some usage reports in there, and we can provide some you know, customizable. So we can customize some reports to fit kind of what you need if you want to see something in particular. And we have this data analytics program. Our business intelligence department has really grown over the last year, especially. And so we've been designing dashboards with customizable data that pulls from the system. And right now, you don't have garage equipment, so we'd be limited to kind of the manual reports that we compile on day-to-day transactions and revenue and the text-to-park data, which does integrate and link to our business intelligence platform. So the data analytics we can provide from that, the whole idea is that we'd be able to create something that's useful to you, that it's insightful, it's something you can create some, it's actionable. So if you need to make policy decisions based on something, it'd be based on good data. So the customizable dashboards, for example, this is one that was developed by our IT team for the state of Rhode Island. We manage all the parking facilities for the state and the beaches during the summer. So you could have something that looks like this that would have, you know, the number of locations you have, the what the average revenue is per day, per week, whatever metric you want to measure. So we can design that. Now, this isn't necessarily anything we could do right away, but we can give you something similar to this. You wouldn't have access to it like in a full-blown business intelligence suite. Once I think your system gets to that point where there's more data, then it might be worth looking at this if you wanted to see that. Unfortunately, there is a little cost to this if you wanted to really see it yourself and play with it. These sliders on the left, you can change the parameters of what you want to look at. If you want to just see what business has been like, you know, over the last year on every Friday from 12 to 1 p.m. during lunch, you'd be able to do that. And all these things would change to reflect that. But we'll be able to give you, without this complete access, the reports and the data that you'd need to help you make decisions. And we would have, you know, our own recommendations as well along the way. So that leads into the cost. So we tried to be very conscientious and mindful that you really needed a short-term fix, and you wanted us to help as much as we could, as much as we could, to get you through this phase into something where you're replacing the equipment with what you want and need. So just to give you an idea of what some of the costs could be for budgeting purposes, you know, the decals, if we do them, probably about $500, maybe they're, you have about 100, I think 20 spaces. So, you know, maybe $4 to $5 a decal, street signage, you know, so depending on the design, the quantity of those, you probably only need one for every, I don't know, 7 spaces or so. So we're budgeting a cost of 100.
Excuse me now, what are the street signs for the zone?
So yeah, that would be, so I'll go back up. So those signs we were talking about would be like these. Well, I know the uniform traffic codes are, I think, 18 by 24, but something like this, that would say touchless parking. So that would be the idea, something. But it could be anything. We can come up with some ideas, and you know, they're your signs, so you can decide how you want them. You may not need the decals if there's existing poles already. You could probably just put those right on those U-channel posts, and you know, and be done with it, as long as they're visible from wherever you're parking. Or you could do the opposite: just put decals on the meters. People pull
that's
up.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, they see it. So there's no right or wrong. It's really whatever you want. If you don't like the sign clutter, then maybe decals are better for you. So that's that. Yep, that's that startup. The garage, same idea. We would need some signage on the wall, similar to the ones on street, or maybe some larger Windmaster signs. Those are the they're self-standing signs. This is probably a high end, but it depends on how many signs we really want in the garage or how many you think you need. So if you only need something at the entrance, it would, you know, it'd probably be a lot less. You knock a zero off that probably, you know. So that is, so other than those two, the only other one-time kind of startup fee is really the technology management side of things. So the implementation part, where we need to program everything, get everything set up for you, that's just a one-time fee. And then the ongoing cost per month for our back-end management is $600 a month. The last piece is really the ticket management system that's being used now through Complus or Passport. So all those other services that we talked about, us doing the collections and depositing and processing and managing the collections process for delinquent tickets, that is can be a little labor intensive. I mean, right now we don't know how the enforcement's going to go as far as how many citations you're going to write. So, you know, this doesn't really anticipate getting a lot of tickets and processing those, you know, every day. I don't see any of our staff going to the lockbox, you know, every day to process these things. It'll probably be done every few days. So anyways, there is a labor cost to that. So that's, we priced it just $775 a month. The postage and consumables you're already, you know, paying for, just to remind you of that, that's all. So are there any questions on this? Because other than that, tried to make it as quick as we could for you. We'd be happy to answer any more questions.
The costs right now, we're looking at $1,375 a month?
Yes.
More than that.
Yeah. The technology.
$1,375 a month.
Question on the technology and programming. Can we use our existing meters, or new meters have to be purchased? Are you supplying a box that they go and buy a ticket from? How does that work?
So if I'm understanding your question, is the existing meters would remain where they are. We would just, through our technology, add another payment option, which would be through Text-to-Park, basically a credit card payment. So that's what we would be doing. You wouldn't have to pay for any hardware, any meters or anything like that.
And Ron, if I could jump in here real quick, Ron. So what you're saying with the signage, I think we all know, we've all been in New Haven, Hartford, and wherever, we're always looking for signs where we have to pay up in Boston, New York, or whatever. So I think the more signs that are available, Seth, that people will see it, so they're going to do it. You know what I mean? So we're all getting accustomed to paying for parking like this. So that's right. Just want to put that in real quick.
Yeah. Again, it's your money. It's your system. There's no right or wrong answer. If you think you need more signs or less signs or more decals or fewer, you know, we can provide whatever it is. I mean, obviously we would give you our advice. If we think that there's a better way, or maybe you need to look at something a little differently, but like I said, either way will work. Both will work.
That you already invented the wheel. We don't have to reinvent it.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. You know, that's why we brought you in here, and you guys are professionals, and obviously you're all over the country and stuff like that. So it's common sense, and Derby needs to get up, you know, to speed. So that's what I'm looking at. But.
Yeah, and if we can do our part to help you get to that next level with your system, we're happy to do that. We know, you know, we're not looking for, you didn't want really a long-term commitment. We'll do whatever you need to get you through this. And, you know, if we have to go through a bid process at some point in the future for a longer term, once the new system is in place, we're happy to do that.
Okay. No, absolutely. I mean, for you to be accommodating to us, it was unbelievable. It's just for you guys to come in here and think about this. Go ahead, Barbara.
Yeah, that's okay. I actually he touched on a question I had. So what is the commitment that you would expect from the city? Is this a year contract? Oh, I mean, what do you expect? Do you have a minimum if we entered into an agreement? Is it a year? Is it what we – do you have a minimum or month to month? What is your –
Yeah, I mean, we really don't. Obviously, the longer you're comfortable with, the better it is for us to, you know, make sure we're building a system that we know, like in a month, won't be gone. But that said, we never really had that in-depth discussion with Drew. But look, a lot of our agreements have termination rights that are short. So. We agreed to help, so we'll do whatever you need. If you only want to do 1 year, but have, you know, 60-day termination rights, we can do that. If you want to do, you know, 3 years with 30-day, 60-day termination rights, that's fine as well. You know, whether it's month to month or not, we're gonna, you know, prove what we can do for you. And if you like it, we're not worried about that.
Okay. I just wanted to say, I wanted it to just have your feeling on that, because I don't know if I missed that or not, but this is not addressed to you particularly, but it's going to the full board. I'm just going to make the comment while it's on my mind that we do have a bidding process in the city. So that I'm not sure what we as a board or the city is contemplating here with this. So I'll leave it at that for now till we get to the board discussion.
All right, if I can, I want to touch on that, and also I want to touch on the fees. We did go out to bid for the three different proposals. The first proposal was $50,000 for equipment. Second proposal was $25,000 for equipment. And Laz came in with this option to not do the capital improvement, but to do the new ticketing plan. And as far as somebody mentioned what it's going to cost us, it's going to cost us about $1,350 a month, but we were paying $7,400 a month. So it's still quite a big savings, and I'm sure they're going to do a much better job on the collection of tickets that we were doing.
Carm, is that $1,350 plus our employees?
Yes, but we only have one employee and maybe one more part-timer.
Now, tonight, we're not really looking to approve this tonight. We need to see a contract or what, and continue you guys on to negotiate, or what are you looking for?
Well, I mean, what we're looking for the garage is information for you guys so you can digest this. And like you said, you're not going to prove anything without a contract anyhow. So if you want to go with this and you want to have him write up a contract and have him bring it forward.
So what I think they're asking, actually, I have two things real quick, Carm, though. But in the outcome of this meeting, do we need to make a motion to allow the mayor and the corporation council to negotiate a contract, which will obviously come before this board again before approval? Is that what you're looking for out of this meeting?
Yes, because right now we're not collecting a dime on any parking.
Understood. But going back to Ms. DeGennaro's point, we need to make sure we have all our ducks in a row when it comes to the charter and the bidding process. I do have another, and I know you guys will handle that. I have one other question.
Well, it's our obligation, but I don't recall a bidding process, but that's okay. We had quotes, but go ahead.
We had quotes on the sealed bid, right?
Follow the charter. I do have a technology question, though, and I'm going to go to Drew real quick. Drew, how long is our current contract with our current parking authority, Comp Plus, or whoever we're using?
Charlie, there is no contract.
Okay, so we don't have anything with Comp Plus?
Nope.
Okay. Just going back to technology question for the folks from Laz. Cause I utilize Complex where I work. They have nice little handheld meters that you walk around, you punch the plate in, and it tells you exactly if that party is paid or not. If they haven't paid, you're going to issue a ticket. It takes a nice little picture for you. So it'll actually show the vehicle in case any questions come up. Is this the type of technology you're talking about supplying for the parking enforcement authority?
Yes, it is. And it would be through, I mean, if you wanted us to re-engage with Complus, we could do that. But it would be that same system.
If we don't have a contract with them, then I don't see why we'd enter into two when one could take care of it.
Well, I mean, we just to make sure that there's no misunderstanding, there still needs to be that component to this operation. So there needs to be a ticket management system by a company like Complus or Passport.
All right. That was my next question.
That won't go away, but it's just a matter of who is supplying that, like the handhelds and all that.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand that. I'm going to quit there.
Question for Carmen. I know you had frustration with Complus. Are we cleared with Complus where we're not paying them anymore and they are finished collecting and all of their paperwork is ended so we can just move on?
Yes, the last contract we had with Complus was from 2007, which is expired. And they were charging us for the entire last year, which we were not even writing tickets. And so we called them to tell them our situation after Patty had passed. And so they stopped billing us. And I asked them for a copy of the contract, which we got. And I asked them, how long is the contract? And she says it's normally renewed year to year. The contract was written in 2007. For all intents and purposes, we have no contract at all.
If it's renewed year to year, what's the month of the, when was it started?
Back in 2007, Anita. I wasn't around.
Right, neither was I. But then we've been using them all along, so it renewed automatically year to year.
Yes, but we stopped it.
Okay.
Because we were paying monthly fees to them and we were not writing any tickets for a year.
Or once Corona kicked in.
Correct. We stopped charging parking meters and we stopped charging in the garage.
So let me just clarify something because I think it's a little confusing. This is, and we were confused about it before the last time we talked about this as well. We still have Complus software in upstairs in the second floor. We sent back the handhelds. We got out of the contract. But in further discussions with Laz, we realized we still need Complus or something like that. So we still have a computer of theirs. We still have a printer of theirs. I think the easiest thing is to probably maintain our relationship with Complus and just let Laz manage that relationship and manage that software and all that. And obviously, whoever the enforcement officer on our side will have either, the handheld, like Charlie was talking about, that he uses down in Westport. So we still need Complus. I want to make sure we clarify that. But I will say Carmen was smart enough to call them and say, hey, we're not using your right now. Can you kind of shut it off and not be charging us? But we do need to re-engage them, essentially, and kind of continue to our relationship with them. And it's probably worthwhile that we did that because we need new technology anyway. Those handhelds were getting a little raggedy. So
Carm, you're trying to bring us into 2021.
Yeah, right.
Just by being on Elizabeth Street, and I know when the meters first started, when Rick Dunn was in charge, it was to move traffic along so someone wasn't sitting there all day, like my car sits there now. But there is so many open spaces. So we have to look at the reasons why we're doing this. And is the garage totally filled that we need to move traffic? That's the reason for ticketing and charging for a space. So that's a question to the mayor and to Carmen to review.
You have to realize too that the court is going to reopen next month. So that's going to put a lot more cars on the street that have not been there this past year.
And the governor opened up a lot for next month, Anita.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're getting there. So thank God. Hopefully everybody gets their shots and everything. And we're moving forward now. This is great. And Alas came in. They're a national organization. This is awesome that they came in here. We talked to them for the last couple of years. And I think this is great for them. So.
So you guys got to work on some numbers and everything and come back to us with a length of contract with some official stuff. Maybe after 1 year, we can look at it or whatever contract and then go on. Maybe next month we could vote on it or in 2 weeks.
Oh, absolutely. Ron, you're absolutely right. And like I said, this is a lot coming up. We got the downtown. We got Joe Salem getting ready to build. Caroline and everything like that. We're going to get a lot more people down there.
Oh, it's not, but I'll put it on.
So.
Is it something we could just, you get the final numbers for and all that, and then bring it to ops and have ops bring it to the full board?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, all the women DeGennaro need something else on her plate.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming in here.
Thank you, Sathis.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, you're on mute.
Here.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Thanks, Mayor. Thanks. To everybody, and we appreciate the opportunity, and we'll work with Drew and Carm to get things done. And if you don't have any other questions for us, we'll drop off and let you get on with your business.
Very good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Hey, just a suggestion. Maybe since Alderman Sampson is so familiar with the system, he should participate in the meeting next time when we start to sit down with Laz. I nominate him.
Yeah,
you know, I am at a loss of why I wasn't included in the beginning of this, Mr. Backlick. We'll have words after this meeting.
Drew, I thought he was already chair of the subcommittee.
I thought you had no.
All right, have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to move on to, let's see that.
I just have one more thing, Carmen. There are meters that are full. People are telling me they're full. They can't put any more quarters in.
Nope.
Downtown.
Yeah. Carmen, you're muted.
Carmen.
Yeah, we just emptied them last week.
Okay. Thank you.
But also, there's 4 or 5 meters from Main Street to Third Street that are broken. So Mr. Maddow from Public Works has been down, and we ordered a few parts, and he cleaned out the locks, and we have a new key coming next week. So we're going to be able to empty those out too next week.
Perfect.
Do we have an official motion to move it to OP?
I'll make that a formal motion.
All right, Joe, second.
I'll second it.
There was a motion on the floor, I thought.
Yeah, there was. All right, so it's over there. So move it over to ops. Barb?
How about discussion? I think it should go to CR. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, this is all community functions here.
Yeah, right, yeah. We got Charlie on the little committee. That's good. It'll go right through.
Yeah. So let's get it going. Good for Derby.
Why don't we take a vote on that?
Yeah.
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. Beautiful. Thank you, people. All right, 9. Left blank. Number 10. OEM. Authorization resolution 2020 grant program. Move to adopt the following resolution. Be it hereby resolved that the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen of the City of Derby, that the City of Derby may enter into Nobody doesn't like that. With the delivery of the state of Connecticut emergency services.
Is that your dog, Drew?
The Division of Emergency Management, Homeland Security, any and all documents which it deems to be necessary or approved, appropriate to effective the FFY 2020 State Homeland Security Grant Program, Region 2, Memorandum and Agreement, and it is further resolved that Richard Zekin, as mayor of the city of Derby, is authorized to direct and execute and deliver any and all documents on behalf of the city of Derby, and to do and perform all acts and things which he deems to be necessary and appropriate to carry out the terms of such documents, including but not limited to executing and delivering all agreements and documents contemplated by such documents. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Ron.
Okay. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, if I could, Charlie Sampson, just I'm sure everybody knows, but this is a yearly document that Emergency Management brings before this board that has to be signed, and all it is so that we can submit our paperwork to Emergency Management for any funds that we might get.
Any more discussion? All right, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Sounds good. 11, request to extend deadline to adopt 2021-2022 municipal budget. Discussion, possible action on request from Board of Appointment Compensation to extend the budget adoption deadline from April 30th, 2021 until no later than May 31st, 2021.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we extend deadline to adopt 2021-2022 municipal budget to May 18th, the latest.
Second, Ron.
Right. Any more discussion on that?
What's the rationale behind the 18th, Joe? Just curiosity.
Well, that gives them a month to get things done, and you know, I think that's plenty of time to get it done.
There's no more information that'll come in after the 18th.
I'm not sure if there will or will not be. There may be more information coming past May 31st too.
Well, Joe, if I could jump in here, we just came up with the insurance. It looks like there's gonna be $150,000 savings on what we're doing on that. And the state just came down with their appropriations for the for our city, which is up and up. And if we did what we were, you know, for our budget, excuse me, I had a little procedure on my throat, so I'm going to be a little hoarse here. You know, we wouldn't be seeing the benefits that we're going right now for our residents and our taxpayers. So to limit it to the 18th, okay, but within Wednesday, we picked up another $150,000 savings for our taxpayers. So to limit it to the 18th, listen, the state is the state. Understand what's going on here. So I think we should really go to the extent what we can, which the Democratic governor pushed for us, say that we can put it out to here to go against your Democratic governor. I mean, there's potential more savings for our taxpayers. So, but if that's what you think that we should do for the 18th, that's your opinion. I think that our Democratic governor is saying that we should push it out. You know, give us the extended time to see what our legislators are giving to the city.
Whose idea was it to change the charter and move it up a month? why did we do that? I mean, I know the people voted on it, but who even brought it to the Charter Commission? Because we always worried about hearing from the state in June.
Yeah, it's a, Ronnie, it's an executive order per the governor, which allows us to do it. So nobody had to change the charter. It was covered under the charter was
changed. No, but we changed the charter in Derby to move.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why did we do that?
No, I gave my budget initial, but the Democratic governor just pushed this out. So
I understand that, Mayor. I'm talking about the complete
which is great for us because we're a distressed city, Ron. And you know, you've been here 30 something years and you understand how the process is here, Ron. So
I know.
We need to continue to save as much money as we can for our citizens because the last 3 years it got bumped up. But let me tell you, we're at the pinnacle right now to save our residents money and to push it forward. I mean, that's up to you, but our Democratic dump governor basically said, give us a little extra time to figure out what they're going to do up there in Hartford.
Yeah, I think if we extended it to June 1st, they still wouldn't know. I think as much as we can get up to the 14th, we'll be fine. And we'll work together on it, no matter what, you know that.
I understand that, but maybe if you can use your pull to call them people up there to get their stuff together.
Yeah.
We need to, Ron. I mean, you've been here long enough.
I know, but not there.
You know, we've all been here long enough. And, you know, I got my, you know, I've been calling up there. We need to, and, you know, I just got some stuff in here the other day. And with our insurances, and we're working it to save more money. I mean, we're doing good, and it's I mean to push it up. I mean, I think we should put it to the extent where the governor is allowing us to. And you know, the 18th, whatever. I would like to push it out to the end, but if that's what you would like to do, and then after the 18th, if more money's coming towards us. Well, it's on you guys, so I don't know what to say.
Listen, we don't know when the monies are coming our way exactly. You know, our valley neighbors are passing their budgets in the next couple weeks. We should be able to pass a budget, you know, and then when the state monies, you know, and other monies come in, then, and they're here, then we'll deal with them.
Well, Sarah, that's all well and good. But, excuse me, I just got, you know, information from CCM saying that we're getting some good funds coming in here. And I'm talking to Doc Conway
Mr. Mayor, I think, but, so, Mr. Mayor, if the problem is we, the chairwoman of the tax board was on here or somebody else represented the tax board tonight, it would be clearer. In their last minutes of the meeting, they set a schedule for themselves with the number of meetings that they have to conduct to adopt it by the 25th of May and still leave time for a public hearing on the adoption of the budget. So that all has to take place. I think the reason and I'm just speculating for Ms. Subcheck, but once again, the number of meetings that they're doing basically now on a weekly basis, their schedule is set to actually perform the adoption on the 25th, Mr. President. I think that's why they asked for the 31st.
I did talk to her today. So
so if you're comfortable with your discussion with her and what was the date? The 14th you said, sir?
Well, the 18th.
18th. If you're comfortable with your discussion with her, then I'm good with you.
So we have a motion and a second.
But also, I'm going to go right here now, too. If there's more discussion up at the Hartford with our Democratic counterparts up there that are going to help the city out, you know, just be careful on going too quick. That's what I'm saying. So
if the governor's giving us until the 31st, I don't see why we would cut our deadline short by 2 weeks. We owe it to the taxpayers to, if the money's still rolling in, we owe it to the taxpayers to see what dollars roll in between the 18th and the 31st.
All right. So we got a first and a second, and I'm comfortable with that. President feels the 18th is good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed, Rob? No.
Rob is opposed, so we got one against.
Just for the record, I'm opposed to the 18th. I'm not opposed to the extension.
Okay. All right. And that's carried. So it's going to be to the 18th. Excuse me. All right. Number 12, COVID income and expense update.
If nobody has any discussion, I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I make a motion that all federal, state, or private grants or other funding received by the City of Derby for COVID-19 relief, COVID-19 related expenses, or any other reason related to COVID-19 pandemic, included but not limited to the American Rescue Plan, shall not be encumbered or expended without the specific approval by a majority vote in public session of both the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, and the Board of Apportionment and Taxation.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second it, Camille.
All right, so Ron, I just wanna ask you, so if we have to get extra gloves, if we have to get masks and stuff like that, so I'm gonna have to do a special meeting to bring it up to you to find out if we have to expend this money?
If you think that's what I'm talking about, yes. Yeah. But I'm trying to get the two boards to work together on a lot of money coming in, a certain thing that's happening that we've never experienced before.
Absolutely.
And I would suggest a joint meeting of the tax board and Board of Aldermen within the next couple of weeks. But how good would it be for those two boards?
That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I wish you guys would get together on all this. Absolutely beautiful. I think I've been doing due diligence on taking care of this city and helping people out and getting, you know, not frivolously spending monies on this stuff. But absolutely, I would love that for this board and the tax board to get together. Because if I have to call you up personally to get gloves for somebody in the library and stuff like that, please let me know and I will call you.
Have you been calling the tax board now I'm doing that?
But no, I'm just saying that you're bringing this up. So I just love to know if you want me to bring this up. I'm not frivolously spending money on the city.
Nobody thinks you are. This is a big piece of money that's never happened before.
You're talking
gloves and stuff you've been listing on a list. I don't even know if you've paid for yet all the things we've dealt with COVID or who's keeping that list. But this is totally different. This is this big money coming in. That's not money.
It's money coming in that we did spend properly.
Mr. Mayor, Ron, if I could, I understand your motion. I understand where you're going with this. I believe that the intent is that when this funding comes to us, whether it's a dollar or $100, that prior to any of that money going anywhere, we all get together. I don't think that, Mr. Silling, correct me if I'm wrong, that your intent on the motion is that the items that need to currently be purchased through our funding that hasn't been reimbursed yet by this money coming in cannot still be purchased. So like the mayor said, if gloves are necessary at City Hall, that comes out of a fund that we have for COVID, but yet is reimbursable.
Right. That's not what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Right. So I think Mr. Sill, and once again, Craig, when this funding comes in, we just want to make sure it's going to the appropriate things. And I know the CARES Act spells out exactly what you can and can't use it for. He's not saying you can't go out and buy gloves that you need.
Right. And get these two boards together and know that whole amount that came in and just watch it, you know, go down. You can get anything you want. Nobody's going to stop you. But the two boards, one, Republican Board of Taxation and one Democratic board, you know, they're the majorities on both boards. How good would it be for those two boards to act together for the City of Derby?
You guys got phones. You can call each other. So,
I think the people
saying that you guys are not contacting each other is kind of ridiculous.
So this is an open.
You guys should contact each other, and I think that's the greatest thing that's coming from this meeting right now.
Good. Yep. This will be an opening for us to get together. It doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, this, that.
There shouldn't be a letter behind any of our names,
right?
Just for the betterment of our City of Derby,
right?
And I think the citizens would be glad that the two boards are getting together and watching this big amount of money come in and where it's going to go. That's all I'm saying.
No, absolutely. All right.
So, did I get okay?
So, can I just say we're on item 12, correct?
Yes.
David Taylor's? Okay. So I'm just under the impression that I know we got something here. It's not complete. I was under the impression that this was for the next meeting in 2 weeks and that it would get further completed. But I know he was probably trying to do, he's doing what we asked. And he's not on the meeting. So any questions, I have a few questions, but I'll wait for that. I anticipated waiting for the next meeting.
So Barb, you're asking about the expenditures for the COVID?
Item number 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, right.
Okay. All right.
There was a report, Mayor, there was a report that Mr. Taylor sent to the board.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Right.
So that, and just Andrew Backlick, just to expand upon that for a minute, because I talked to David today. He said, unfortunately, he's still doing some recon on those, but he does expect by your May 13th meeting to have some more detail and be able to really have that a little bit more tightened up. But he did want to be, to your point, Alderman DeGennaro, responsive to the board's request for the latest and greatest information that he did have available. So that spreadsheet's a little sloppy and has some errors, but he's going to have a little bit more detail for you on the 13th, and he'll be ready to answer questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
All right. Anything else on this? 13 is done. We'll go to 14.
Well, did we do that motion?
We have a motion on that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Motion on what? Ronnie's motion?
Ronnie's.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, can we repeat that again, Ron, please? I'm sorry. So everybody remembers it.
You want to
repeat
that again?
Your motion.
All right. I make a motion that all federal, state, or private grants or other funding received by the City of Derby for COVID-19 relief, COVID-19 related expenses, or any other reason related to the COVID-19 pandemic, including but not limited to the American Rescue Plan, shall not be encumbered or expended without specific approval by a majority vote in public session of both the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, and the Board of Apportionment and Taxation.
Okay. And we have a second on that. All in favor?
Me.
Yep.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. So carried.
Thank you.
Anything I can get to you, Ron, I will get to you.
No, don't worry about that. It's not going to be like that, Mayor. That's not what we're looking to do.
I'm like saying, like, it's all good.
We'll get to him again at number 17, Mr. Mayor.
I'm all good for Derby. I know you guys.
Let me just tell you, the mayor of Hartford submitted his budget to the city Tuesday. In his budget, he used no money from Washington's American COVID Rescue Plan or any special COVID money coming in.
Right. But you understand what I walked into, so.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, Ron. Because the state is giving Hartford $40 million every year for the next 5 years, because that's what our legislatures approved for him in a $500 million bailout 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's why he doesn't need it.
But that's not here or there. So can we get back to Derby business, please?
Yeah, 14.
Number.
All right. So 14, RFP and MOU for a proposed fuel cell at 49 Coon Hollow Road. 14.1, discussion and possible authorization, the issuance of an RFP concerning the installation of a carbonite fuel cell facility to be located at 49 Coon Hollow Road in accordance with the terms and conditions contained in the draft RFP prepared and approved by corporate counsel. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second, Charlie.
All right. Discussion. I hear none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so carried. 14.2, discussion, possible action to schedule a public hearing on May 13th, 2021. At 7 p.m. in accordance with Connecticut General Statute, Section 7-5, 163E, A in parentheses, concerning the lease of a portion of 49 Coon Hollow Road for the installation and operation of a carbonite fuel cell power facility. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Charlie.
Second?
Second, Rob.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. All right, 14.3, discussion and possible action authorizing the posting of a sign at 49 Coon Hollow Road in a conspicuous location and the publication of a notice in a newsletter or newspaper, I'm sorry, having general circulation in the city in accordance with general Connecticut General Statute 7-163E, A in parentheses. Can I have a motion?
Move, Charlie.
Second, Ron.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you. There'll be a million if we get in there. Get that in there. All right. The executive session. Do you have a motion to go into executive session?
So moved to include.
What do we need?
Corporate counsel.
Yeah, you can keep Dennis, corporate counsel. I think myself and probably Mark. We're talking about that same item we talked about last week. So.
All
right. So move 8:23 with a 1 minute interval.
All right. Can we
run, Roddy? Run.
You need a second. You need a second.
Second, Barbara.
We're gonna take a potty break and then we're good.
Oh Lord.
I'll pause the recording. Pause the recording. Okay, the record should reflect that it is 8:36 p.m. and the board is back in regular session. Mr. Mayor.
All right. Oh, Joe.
Motion to come out. No, don't we have to make him have to make a motion to come out? Motion to come out at 8:37.
Right. Motion to come back into a
regular session.
Session.
All right. Barb made it. I'll second.
All right. Hey, Joe, before we defer over to Ron, we're looking at to do in-person meetings. So we're going to look at this for May 13th to figure out how we could do this. And Joe was, I spoke to the president there. So if you want to talk about this a little bit, and I'd like to hear from the rest of the aldermen, alderwomen, if you have any objections or if you're up for it. Let's quick discussion.
Sounds good. I guess we could even go up to the Payton building, right?
That's what we're thinking too, so.
But well, then you can give each member an option if they want to, if they're comfortable or not. Right. I mean, absolutely. I don't know that I'm comfortable yet. Yep.
That's why I'm
with you, Barb.
And the ops committee will make sure that Dennis puts us in group one. Group one.
Well, I would say the other factor in this is the staff people that that have to deal with this as well, because currently the executive order will still be in effect on May 13th, and it says that if you have a hybrid meeting, that you have to allow the public into the room, and you have to have you have to then Zoom it out to everybody. And the truth is, we don't have the equipment for that right now.
Well, I'm thinking that we can do the high school.
You might be able to do the cafeteria, and we do that for the when we were doing the ball fields, and all you need is what the cafeteria in the middle school currently has the capabilities of Wi-Fi, and as long as we have a laptop connected, we could set up a Zoom camera. That's
except,
not hard.
Except they've been having trouble every time they've been doing it themselves too. So I'm just saying we don't have.
I mean, are there microphones? Are there?
Drew, work it out, Drew.
Us. What about downstairs in the what's the, oh my God, the basement, the room, down in the basement.
You want to go down?
Smaller, right? It's smaller.
Yeah.
We could go in the other room.
Can I just, from a process perspective real quick, we came out of executive session and he didn't really make a motion that and discuss that there was no action coming out of executive. So I think it might be confusing to the public that wasn't an executive that this is not what we talked about or what we're continuing.
Yeah. Nor is this on the agenda.
Yeah.
Nor is this on the agenda. That's the other thing. Right.
I think
unless we stay on after the meeting, which is another violation. So.
Drew, work it out.
I apologize.
Motion to say no discussion.
Motion to get out of executive session.
Well, I made it and Charlie seconded it.
All right. And there's nothing going on. So all in favor?
All right. Those who weren't in there.
All right. We can discuss that with our president over the next few weeks and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So we're looking around. We're looking at.
Okay. It's not on the agenda.
Yeah. All right. Sarah, you want to go?
17.
Have fun. All right.
Motion to adjourn at 8:42.
All right, Ron.
Second. Yeah, third. Second by Sarah, third by Charlie.
Aye. Aye. Good night, everyone.
Bye. Bye. Bye.